So last week, when we met up with Jesus, we heard what happened at the end of his visit to the synagogue in Nazareth. We heard how amazement turned to anger when Jesus made it clear that God's vision of justice and freedom wasn't just for the people of Israel, but for everyone. That kind of vision with that kind of hospitality offered to all kinds of people, that just wasn't what the people of Israel were expecting of their Messiah. So the people who were listening to Jesus at the synagogue in Nazareth, they got up, drove Jesus out of town, and led him right to the edge of the hill on which their town was built, so they could hurl him off the cliff. But Luke tells us that Jesus walked right through them and went on his way. And his way took him first to Capernaum, where he continued his ministry of teaching and preaching. He also started there his healing ministry, first exorcising a demon from a man in the synagogue, and then taking away a fever from the mother-in-law of a man named Simon. And then it was like a dam opened up. Word about Jesus began to spread, and people from all over the region brought their loved ones who were sick and had Jesus lay his hands upon them, and he cured them, all of them. Unlike the people of Nazareth who wanted to throw Jesus off a cliff, the people of Capernaum wanted Jesus to stay. They tried to keep him from leaving, but Jesus insisted. He was a man with a purpose. He was a Messiah with a mission. There were more people who needed to hear the good news of the kingdom of God, so Jesus had to keep going. That's the background for our scripture reading today. Jesus has been preaching and teaching and healing. Word about him is spreading as he moves from town to town. More and more people are seeking him out. In fact, when we meet up with Jesus today, he is standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret. And there are so many people crowding in around him that the only way he can escape is to jump in a boat and push out from the shore a little bit. He needs some space. It just so happens that the boat he jumps into belongs to Simon, the very same Simon whose mother-in-law has been healed by Jesus during his visit to Capernaum. It turns out that Simon is going to receive yet another miracle, and that miracle will change everything for him. So let's listen now for the word of God in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." for he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And now, friends, we sing again of our faith. Our middle hymn is Jesus Calls Us, or The Tumult. If you're here in the sanctuary, you will find the hymn in your hymnal. And if you're worshiping from home, a link will be dropping into the comments. Please be seated. And friends, those of you who are worshiping from home, we are noticing that we have a funny signal on part of our camera link, which is making our live stream possible. So that means that it may go out. I'm going to try and do something that I hope saves it, but I want to warn you because it may just make it go out. And this is the joy of the things they don't teach you in seminary. Oh, so let me just say, if the camera goes out, remember annual meeting is happening after worship. That's happening over on Zoom, so you don't need to be on Facebook to do that. Hopefully in your email you have the link to join us on Zoom. We will try to get the meeting up and going a little bit after 11 o'clock, so you would get a little bit of a break before annual meeting starts, but I'm hopeful this will work. Oh, all the things, right, that we never had to worry about in the before times. Okay. It's plugged in, and now it's a green light. Green's better than red. Blinking red lights are always nerve-wracking when you're looking out from the pulpit. And I think, okay, we have the thumbs up that the live stream is still happening. There we go. Look at all the fun we get to have in worship these days. Oh, goodness. Always excitement. All right, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic gospels. You may have heard that term before. Synoptic means similar or same. In general, in very broad strokes, Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell much the same story in much the same order about the life and ministry of Jesus. If you read the three of them, and then you read the Gospel of John, it's easy to see how Matthew, Mark, and Luke have been grouped together as similar Gospels, and John stands on its own. Because the synoptic Gospels are often so similar to one another, it's always interesting to note when they differ. In Matthew and Mark, Jesus calls his first disciples right at the beginning of his public ministry, before he begins preaching and teaching and healing, before he begins traveling around, he finds some fishermen and calls them to follow him, and they do. They drop their nets and follow this man, this Messiah, without seeming to know very much about him at all. But in Luke, the first disciples are more familiar with Jesus. Jesus has healed Simon's mother-in-law. He's been preaching and teaching and traveling all around. His reputation has been growing. Unlike Matthew and Mark, where Jesus is relatively unknown when he calls his first disciples, in Luke, Jesus has become a celebrity of sorts. He draws huge crowds wherever he goes. There is clearly something compelling about what he has to say. There is something charismatic about who he is. In Matthew and Mark, Jesus seems to need the disciples to get his mission and ministry going. But in Luke, he seems to need his disciples in order to keep it going. There are so many people who need to be healed. There are so many places that need to be visited. Jesus needs a team in order to keep his mission and ministry going strong. It seems that there's just too much for him to do already on his own. He needs disciples who will join with him and dedicate their whole lives to the work of the kingdom. So Jesus climbs into Simon's boat and calls him to let down his nets for a catch. Now at that point, Simon and his crew have been fishing all night long, and they have not caught a single thing. Jesus tells them to push out into deeper water and to let their nets down again. And when they do that, when they do what Jesus asks of them, they end up catching so many fish that their nets begin to break. They have to call over their partners in another boat to come and help them, and they end up filling both boats with so many fish that they begin to sink. That is when Simon fully realizes who Jesus is. He realizes that Jesus isn't just a charismatic man. He's the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. Simon is humbled by the power of Jesus and falls at his knees. But the same power that causes him to fall at Jesus' knees then lifts him up and sends him out into the world. It's in that moment that Jesus calls Simon to dedicate his life to the work of the kingdom. And so Simon decides to leave everything behind and follow Jesus. Now, as modern day disciples, we too might yearn for a modern day miracle like the one Simon experienced. We so often think it would be easier to dedicate our lives to the work of the kingdom if Jesus would just work some miracle in our lives, if he would just give us some guarantee that he truly is who we believe him to be. When we hear this story, it can be so easy to fixate on the miracle, the sign of that huge catch of fish. But maybe instead, we should focus less on the miracle and more on the man, less on the sign and more on Simon himself. Because one of the things that stands out to me in this story is how willing Simon is to do things that don't seem to make sense at first. I mean, he's willing to let Jesus get into his boat, and we have no idea why he does that. What we do know is that he's been out fishing all night, and what he probably wants to do most is to finish cleaning up and get home so that he can sleep. But when Jesus gets into his boat and asks him to push out a little way from the shore, he does it. Maybe he does it because he does know Jesus and he's heard of Jesus doing this kind of thing before. Or maybe he does it because he's just so grateful that Jesus healed his mother-in-law, and so there's nothing he wouldn't do for him. Or maybe Simon is just that kind of guy, the kind of guy who would push out from shore even when he is dead tired just because you asked him for a favor. We don't know exactly why he lets Jesus into his boat, but he does. And then he does something else that doesn't make a lot of sense. When Jesus tells him to put down his nets after he had been fishing all night without a single catch, he does it. And then again, when Jesus invites him to leave everything behind and follow him, Simon does it. Simon is willing to do things that don't make a lot of sense. And maybe that's what we should pay attention to in this story. Because it's easy to fixate on the miracle, on that huge catch of fish, and to think to ourselves, once I get my miracle, I will have the courage to follow Jesus too. But maybe discipleship isn't about waiting for clear signs. Maybe discipleship is about following Jesus even when things aren't so clear, even when things don't make a lot of sense. Maybe discipleship isn't about clarity, but about courage, which is why I am grateful that we are called to follow Jesus together, because I think it is easier to find courage in each other. Now, last week, I told you a story about a man named Danny. He was a member of Greenpoint Reformed Church in Brooklyn, New York, which is the church where Reverend Ann Cansfield serves as co-pastor. Now, in addition to her work in the church, Reverend Ann also serves as a chaplain with the fire department of New York City. It was in the role of fire department chaplain that Reverend Ann had the opportunity to talk to one of the old fire chiefs. And she asked him why the firefighters of the FDNY are known as New York's bravest. He said this: "We go in as a team. That's where we find our courage, from one another. But really, only one of us has to be brave at any given time, and the rest will believe it and follow. But the secret is that none of us know which one of us is supposed to be the brave one at any given time." That sounds to me like a good description, too, of what it means to be church. We're a team. And that's where we find our courage to follow Jesus, even when things aren't so clear, even when things don't make a lot of sense. We find our courage from one another. And only one of us has to be brave at any given time, But the secret is that none of us know which one of us is supposed to be the brave one. I love that this story from Luke is our scripture reading today as we head into our annual meeting. Annual meeting gives us the opportunity to look back over the past year and to celebrate all that has happened in the life of our church. It also gives us the opportunity to look ahead and to start discerning where God is calling us to go next. As we make our way through this long pandemic, there is still so much about the future that is unclear. There is still so much that doesn't make sense yet. But what Simon shows us is that discipleship is about following Jesus even when things aren't so clear, even when things don't make a lot of sense. Because discipleship isn't about clarity, it's about courage. And discipleship is about following Jesus together, which is such a gift because we get to find courage not only from God, but from each other. Now, we don't all have to be brave all at the same time. But you never know when God will need you to be the brave one in our midst. So, friends, my prayer is that you will keep shining with courage, because it just might be your light that we need to discern our way forward. Amen.